Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You know, Cole, I like our next guest. I do. But it's hard for me to not feel like it's personal when our next guest, Matt Smith, Sports Talk Media Network, has been in the press box with you in Columbia multiple times over the course of this season. And the first time I head to Columbia to cover a South Carolina game, Smitty says, nah, I'm not going to South Carolina this weekend. I'm headed to Clemson to see the Tigers take on the SMU Mustangs. Smitty, how do you respond that this is entirely personal and I should be offended?
Well, I'm ducking Beamer because I was ripping his offensive line for the last month.
Oh.
So probably just best if... No, I haven't been, although I did say on Sports Talk earlier this week, was it this week? I guess so. And whenever Lonnie Teasley was fired, and I said, oh, that's perfect. That keeps the wolves at bay. That's just meat to the wild dogs because you've got to protect Shula and give them somebody. And my co-host, I'm the co-host for Phil Kornblut, and he I'm on about once a week, and he said I can't believe a coach would ever think that way. So it got me to thinking. I was like, well, I'm going to Sweeney's presser. He's going to Beamer's. It's probably best just in case Beamer reads any headlines from us or catches any of our YouTube shorts or anything, because I've just been tough on South Carolina's offensive line. But I'll have more to say about that in a minute. I just got back from Boston. It feels like I just got back from Boston. I was up there covering Clemson and Boston College, and it feels like I just got back. Because the flights were rough. I was on Spirit Airlines.
Ooh.
So you know what that's like.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's rough. You have to like lean to one side of the plane, everybody rush up to the front to get it to even out. That's tough. Smitty, let me ask you, since you brought up Lonnie Teasley there, Diesel and I obviously have talked about it a lot this week with the dismissal of Lonnie Teasley. Sean Elliott's a hands-on guy. He's a good coach. People have already been raving just this week about how the energy's different. And is the offensive line going to have four pre-snap penalties? Maybe not. Maybe they'll have only one on Saturday against Oklahoma. But when you talk about overall success of this Gamecock offense, does Lonnie Teasley impact the immediate success of South Carolina in your mind?
Well, that's a good question. This is why Coach Beamer gets the big bucks. He has to be right here in terms of it will be addition by subtraction, because now you have one less coach, and you've handed those reins to Sean Elliott. And look, he's got the credentials. We know he can coach offensive line. But what you're referring to, what you're asking, is well, wait a minute. Was this really Lonnie Teasley? Was it his fault that the line was playing this poorly? And remember, they've had injuries. They also actually ran the ball with some success against LSU. And a lot of the sacks, you would have to say, have been on Lenore Sellers this year. So that's not going to change, right? He's going to hold the football.
Yeah.
But what you're asking, Coach Beamer has to be right in that these guys will respond to the new voice in the room, is what everybody is counting on, is that they'll have to – they will have to just respond, and maybe Coach Elliott will change things up a little bit. Maybe Teasley was expecting more from them, and maybe he'll simplify. And it's against a very talented Oklahoma defense and somebody we know that will run a lot of exotics in Brent Venables. But are they going to be better as an offense? Well, that all depends. Look, I've said this all season long. I know Lenore Sellers' numbers aren't great. They only threw for 124 yards at LSU. I know that nobody's really popped at receiver despite all the talent they have. I know before Matthew Fuller had that big run last week against LSU, the running game wasn't doing anything. But to me, I can't judge any of the skill position guys until I see better offensive line play. Because it starts at the snap. It starts with the center calling out the assignments for the offensive line. It starts with everybody hitting their assignments, so that when the game doesn't break down right away, so that Rasul Faison's not dodging somebody in the backfield. So once that offensive line, if they do respond to Sean Elliott's voice and it gets better, then we can start more harshly judging Sellers and Harbor and Vandrevious Jacobs and all the pieces that they have that have not performed so far this season. But does it get immediately better? I don't know. But if they would stop committing penalties pre-snap, if they just clean that up, if Elliott can get them to do that, that's a big win and probably worth it.
You know, Smitty, of course, it gets quiet on Cole's end right before I ask this question, but I was going to ask, doesn't it just feel right to hear some marching band warm up in the background on Friday night?
Hold on. Man, I got
it's,
you.
It's right. It's like going into Boone and smelling a little something something in the air.
They've quieted
you know what I'm saying.
Down a little bit, Diesel. I don't know. You mean yell at them?
Sure, yeah. Hey, play it again.
Get back going a little bit.
Play it again. Smitty, I was going to ask you, you know, short of, you know, essentially putting an NIL dollar swear jar type situation for every time this offensive line draws a penalty, what can Sean Elliott do, and what you know of him and his time at South Carolina before, what can he do to coach out sort of that twitchiness, the nervous movement, the poor rhythm, the miscommunication, or simply guys just not waiting to hear Lenore Sellers clap his hands before they get moving?
You know, I've talked to a few former offensive linemen and some former offensive line coaches about this. And one of the – and look, all of this is conjecture, even on their part. They played offensive line or they coached it, and it's conjecture from them as well. We don't know. We don't know exactly what's going on, but the assumption is these guys were confused because not only were they often jumping pre-snap, they were then missing assignments, you know, and allowing free rushers. So it seems that the communication on the offensive line is breaking down, and that just has to get cleaned up. Now, one of the ways you can clean that up, according to those that we've talked to, is – I keep using the word simplify and I guess streamline. And it's just to say, look, you know, this is going to be the assignment. This is what you're likely to see. And let's just go inside out and just, you know, make sure that we protect, you know, the A gap and the B gap and start there and then just protect inside out. And if there's going to be a free rusher, at least they have to come from all the way at the outside linebacker or the cornerback spot to get a look at Lenore Sellers, give him a little bit more time. But this stuff where the whole line jumps and the center hasn't snapped the ball and guys don't know which way they're going, that just flat out has to stop. Now, I know what you're saying too, but here's the job of a coach. We have to repeat this every now and then because we just saw James Franklin get fired and get a huge buyout and everything. Here's the job. We all know that those guys, we have to remind ourselves of this, they know football, but there's a D2 coach somewhere right now that can go to a chalkboard and just break down the cover two defense for you. Knowing football is only part of the job. It's a small part of the job.
Yeah.
Getting the players to do what is on that grease board is the job. And that's where Lonnie Teasley was failing. Now, I'm not saying I don't know anything. We weren't at practice. I don't know if it's all Lonnie Teasley's fault or not. But from Shane Beamer on down through Mike Shula and Sean Elliott and then Clayton White on the defensive side, the job is to make those players or get them to do what you are asking them to do. And that's all about communication and teaching and motivation. And you recruited these guys. You recruited them. So if they're blockheads, that's on you. You recruited them. So they have to respond to the coaching. That's the job. Because people say, well, it's the players. You know, players are jumping. How could a coach change that? I don't know, but it's college football. You recruited them, and that's the gig. That's why James Franklin was getting whatever he was getting, $8 million a year. And when those players stop responding to that coaching, ultimately that falls first to the position coach, which is why Lonnie Teasley isn't there, and then you start looking on up. And Shane Beamer's got to get it. I mean, we talked about Lonnie Teasley. We talked about Sean Elliott. Everybody's been talking about Mike Shula. Shane Beamer's never been an offensive coach in his life, maybe. I mean, he's never been a coordinator. He's been a coach, but he's never been a coordinator. He's got to get it right. That's his job. It's a weird job to make 20-year-old people do what you're asking them to do, but that's the gig, and that's why you get paid millions upon millions of dollars.
Smitty, speaking of getting it right, by the way, I do agree with you there. When you watch that game Saturday night against LSU, the play calling may have been, and I know a lot of Gamecock fans will feel differently on this, the play calling and what Mike Shula could not do Saturday may have been just as frustrating as the offensive line play. I mean, for goodness sake, you've got a guy in Matt Fuller who looks to be the hot hand. He gets, what, 4 carries, 3 carries in the first half and 3 more in the second half. He exploded for a 72-yarder. It just feels like, while you're right, Lonnie Teasley's offensive line wasn't getting it done. I don't know if that was the biggest problem. I want to hear your thoughts on this. To me, the offensive play calling and Lenora Sellers Saturday holding on to the football and allowing himself to end drives by not getting rid of it, it seems like to me there are bigger problems that I don't know that a firing a coach will all of a sudden fix. Your thoughts?
Well, it's a good question. You know, how much of this falls on Coach Shula? Because, again, we know this is Don Shula's son. What, are you kidding me? I mean, that to have access to Don Shula growing up, and then this is Mike Shula, he's the head coach at Alabama. He's worked in the NFL. Of course he knows football. But, right, what you're talking about is, right now, why is it that when Shula is calling plays in a game, why doesn't it seem to mesh with Lenore Sellers' skill set? Why is Lenore Sellers getting the play call and not – doesn't look like everybody's on the same page, right? Because Sellers is taking sacks, taking them out of field goal range. Whatever it was that Sellers and Dowell Loggins had kind of at the end of last year, the second half of last year, that chemistry, that's what's missing right now between Sellers and Shula. And so I don't even know if you could pick out it's back to, you know, you wouldn't pick out, say, the plays are bad, but what is it about the rhythm of play calling that South Carolina doesn't seem to be able to stay balanced? They don't seem to be able to get the hands in the ball, the ball in the hands of their playmakers. And why is it that Lenore Sellers only seems to be able to make big plays? It seems like so often he's making a big play. It's 3rd and 13, and he scrambles for 9.
Right.
It's like everything is just not fitting together, and it was last year, and it hasn't hit so far between Shula and Lenore Sellers, and maybe this is the change. Because remember, Sean Elliott, this someone hasn't been talked about probably enough this year. Sean Elliott is the run game coordinator, so he wasn't just the tight ends coach; he was the run game coordinator. So he's involved in that offensive game plan, and that hasn't clicked yet. So that's what's got to change. Something has to change, and it clicks. And I don't know whether it's going to be personnel. What jumpstarts this team, right? Last year it just seemed it jumpstarted because Lenore Sellers looked like he grew up after getting some games under his belt. But now he's no better than he was at the middle of last year. Maybe this is the week. Maybe it'll click at some point. Maybe this is the week.
Smitty, we talked about this earlier in the show. What is your take on this reporting from The Athletic that the University of North Carolina was courting Saudi money to add some funds into that athletic department, and then the subsequent secrecy from from UNC's GM Michael Lombardi about who he was talking to and whether or not he got the investment.
We really lost the plot. This goes back, this smacks what? Of LIV Golf, right? And then you start concerning yourself with where the money is coming from. And the Big Ten was talking, you guys know this big story, was talking a couple of weeks ago about involving private equity and essentially selling out like rights of media of Big Ten schools to private equity. Well, guess what? That could be Saudi Arabian money. That could be Qatari money. We don't know where that money all comes from. I think we are, because once we opened the floodgates and these schools started to court money, they realized, okay, well, we can pay more, we can pay our players more than the others, or we can build better facilities. But in order to do that, we have to supercharge our fundraising, go outside, not just call wealthy alumni, don't just call the wealthy boosters that are business owners in our state. We go outside of that. But when you go outside of that, look what you're inviting. Look at the – and I'm not – I don't know anything about Saudi Arabian money. I don't know anything, but I know this. If there is any dark money or there's money tied to countries or regimes that have human rights issues and all of those things, the moment you start being more of a capitalist, in other words, just open it up to the highest bidder, that's who you're inviting, because that's who's got the money. And I think it's very dangerous. I don't like it. I don't want that. I've always been in favor of some oversight there. But is the NCAA going to do anything? I think we all know the answer to that. So somebody else has to step up and step in. I wouldn't be comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable if like what if North Korea just says, yeah, we're just going to come in and buy Michigan State's rights of media, and it's going to be Kim Jong Un's Michigan State Spartan Stadium. How do we stop that? I think there has to be lines you don't cross.
You'd put a height restriction on that one, first of all.
Sorry.
Smitty, Sports Talk Media Network, joining us right here on The Fan Upstate. Smitty, have you been to Clemson today? I know you're going Saturday. I'll be there as well, tomorrow rather. Have you been up there today with your blue medical gloves, some tape, some healing ointment for Cade Klubnik in that ankle?
Well, here's my Cade Klubnik take. So here's my perspective on this, because I was at the Boston College game. And, by the way, give credit to Diesel. Diesel said Clemson needed to run the football. They did early against BC. Then they didn't abandon it so much as they just pulled Adam Randall out of the game. I think at one point Adam Randall had 10 carries and Cade Klubnik had 10 pass attempts, and I was actually going to comment to Diesel. I was going to send him a message and say, hey, you nailed it. And all of a sudden, Randall's out of the game after like 10 carries, and Klubnik's carrying the football late in the third quarter and gets crunched, which made no sense to me. Keep Randall in the game and let him carry the load and get Klubnik out. They didn't do that. Instead, Klubnik gets injured, and I'm sitting next to David Hood, TigerNet.com, and he's got the binoculars on this. We watched the replay. We all said, this looks terrible. This looks awful. They go into the tent. Members of Klubnik's family come down from the stands and are asking how he is, and they don't look happy. Garrett Riley goes into the tent. He comes out. He doesn't look happy. Cade Klubnik comes out. He's limping badly as he comes out. In the post game, they send Cade Klubnik out. He's interviewed. How's your ankle, Cade? Oh, it's fine. I didn't even notice anything. We asked Dabo Swinney in that press conference post game. Coach Swinney, how do you think Cade's – oh, he's okay. It's just a little ankle. He's had an ankle. It just flared up. We will send it back out there. I'm at the press conference Tuesday. Larry Williams, TigerIllustrator.com, asked, so you think Cade's not going to be restricted in practice? Oh, I don't think so. I don't think he's not going to be any problems. He'll probably practice tomorrow and Thursday and be ready for the game. That all seems like baloney now. That all what are you talking about? Now the line goes from like 10 to 4?
Yeah.
No. Obviously, what we saw with our own eyes Saturday was reality. Cade Klubnik did not look right. I can't imagine at that moment, I thought, well, I don't know if it's serious, but he won't play next week. And then now here I am, I'm telling everybody, well, Coach Swinney said he's fine. I'm shrugging. Of course he said he's fine. Then when the report comes out, now we see Klubnik is almost certainly not fine. And I think it's a real issue for Clemson if Chris Vezina goes out there against a really explosive, if not great, if not complete, but explosive SMU team, Can Clemson and Vezina keep up with the Mustangs and Rhett Lashley? And I don't think so.
You know, Smitty, in the three games that Clemson has played competent football teams, they've given up 17 to LSU, 24 to Georgia Tech, and 34 to Syracuse. I'm not smart enough to do the math in my head, but that sounds like they're averaging giving up around 24 points a game to quality offenses. If you're Tom Allen, do you have a target in your mind like, hey, we got to do better than that? We got to hold them to 17 points to give Christopher Vezina a chance to outscore them?
That's a really good question. I think in a game against SMU, because you're going to see more tempo, it's not necessarily points, but points per possession, right? So when you're playing Georgia Tech, maybe there's only 10, 11, 12 possessions in that ball game. But if you're playing SMU, there's 13, 14, 15 possessions because of the tempo that they run with. So the points might not change, but what you've got to do, I think if you're Tom Allen, SMU's offense is too good to just shut them down, right? Field goals. I think this is a situation where Clemson's red zone defense has to be on point because if SMU is, you know, going up and down the field, obviously, big plays. You've got to prevent big plays because I don't know what the point total will be, but like points per possession, if SMU is getting more touchdowns than field goals, that's a real issue because I think you're just going to have trouble keeping up with Vezina. Hey, maybe I'm wrong. I've only seen Vezina in limited action, but it doesn't seem like Clemson has a lot of confidence in him either, right? Because Kay Klubnik was playing in a blowout last week until he was injured. So I think Vezina is, as you say, kind of limited. I think if Clemson scores 21 points with Chris Vezina, they're doing a great job.
Smitty, Sports Talk Media Network, joining us for a few more minutes right here on the Fan Upstate. Smitty, when you look at the two fan bases, South Carolina, Clemson in a similar spot record-wise entering this weekend's matchups, obviously preseason expectations were a little too high. We know where the fan bases are right now, but I'm going to ask you to look into your magic eight ball, your crystal ball here, and when the season concludes, not right now, but when the season concludes, which fan base will be more disappointed and which fan base will have more optimism after the conclusion of this season?
I think the optimism for South Carolina fans, it's going to have a lot to do with two major factors. How the offense begins to look under Coach Shula. And the other one is Lenore Sellers going to come back? Is he going to return? It's going to be hard for South Carolina to be optimistic if Coach Shula's coming back and Lenore Sellers is not.
That was a good point.
That just is – it makes kind of for a messy cocktail for Gamecock fans because they want Sellers back and they don't want Shula back. But, you know, that's why I'm going to put that caveat. Maybe the offense improves here over the second half of the season. Clemson fans, I don't think there's any – you know, I don't think there's any chance they're not going to be overall disappointed, but there's also a chance that the Tigers pull some victories down the stretch that really change the way they feel because they're now getting to the point of, okay, you're not going to win, probably won't win the ACC championship because of the way, I mean, it's going to be hard to catch Virginia. You know, who can believe that that's true? But it's going to be hard to catch teams like Virginia and Miami, so you're probably not going to play for the ACC championship. But by then, all of that vitriol would have worn off about losing to Syracuse and everything, and you're just left with the fact that, okay, didn't do that, but are you playing well in the second half of the season? I mean, that could the answer to your question may just come down to who wins the game, the rivalry game, because remember, Gamecock fans were sky high when Spencer Rattler pulled the upset over Clemson, and then they weren't good the next year. But they were on such a high because of that win, and the same can be said for Clemson. You know, they're not going to win the ACC championship, not going to win the national championship. Yeah, but if they win the state championship, they'll feel a lot better.
Smitty, I'll be driving down to Columbia tomorrow morning, so I'm going to miss James Franklin's first public interview since being fired by Penn State. He's appearing on College Game Day. Now, he has an opportunity to do what I think a lot of fans want him to do, to be defensive or be petty and rip the university, or he could be gracious and he could campaign for his next job. How do you expect that interview is going to go?
Oh, that's a good question. I I think he will take the high road because the writing was on the wall. What the debate always is, and we just talked about this with Lonnie Teasley, are you better off pulling the plug mid-season? Should you have let James Franklin coach the rest of the season? Because there's a lot of arguments to be made about that. There's recruiting and there's the fact that these guys, everybody laughs when I say this, but they're educators. These are young people that are still in class. And can you imagine if your professor got fired mid-season? I know everybody thinks it's just a business, but you know what? I'm on a lot of campuses. It is and it isn't. It's a weird hybrid of them being somewhere between professional football players and kids that are student athletes. Whether or not they're being paid, they're still of that age, and they still wake up in the morning and go to class. I mean, everywhere except for, Kevin Durant going to Texas. But, most of them are getting up and going to class. It's still – And they're still going to frat parties and everything. It's still that situation, and you're firing James Franklin in front of those young people. So it's an interesting dynamic. I think he'll take the high road because I would. Somebody says they're going to give me $49 million to go away. I put on my fedora, get in my Porsche, drive off and say, hey, I love being a part of Penn State while it worked, but it didn't work. It wasn't the right fit. I don't know why it wasn't the right fit, but it wasn't. And because that team had no business being whatever they are, 3-3 right now.
Smitty, Sports Talk Media Network, you mentioned the Clemson game. You mentioned the Clemson spread, how it started at 11.5, I believe, and now it's down to 5.5, 4.5 in different books. Does that lean you to take Clemson in the upset picks challenge, or are you thinking somewhere else? Because we need your upset pick. And just so you know, trying to sway you here, but Wednesday we locked the lines in at 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m., Clemson was a 9.5-point favorite over SMU. With that being said, Smitty, what's your upset pick this week?
Well, that's tempting. That's tempting because But I don't know what to believe. And here's the other thing, by the way. If Klubnik does play, even if he tries to Willis Reed this, that takes the quarterback run game out for Clemson, which has actually been effective recently. So I think Clemson's got issues against SMU. So that is tempting. I do like SMU, but I had another one in mind. By the way, South Carolina, Oklahoma, I like the Gamecocks' chances here. I know that's only about a 5.5-point spread, but I like the Gamecocks' chances. Oklahoma under Brent Venables, just Oklahoma period in the last 2 years, has not scored more than 2 offensive touchdowns in any conference game. Huh. I think South Carolina might get Oklahoma, but I'm going somewhere else. I got my UCLA pick last week. Got my UCLA pick last week. This week, I'm going back to kind of a rivalry idea. Third Saturday in October, Alabama the last 3 weeks has played Georgia, Vanderbilt, and at Missouri. Body blow theory. Those 3 teams, those were physical games. They were emotional games. They were 4-quarter games. Even though Alabama beat Vanderbilt by 2 scores, that was a 1-score game late in the fourth quarter. I think they're exhausted. And Tennessee, on the other hand, has been playing softer competition and not playing well. Why? They've been looking at this game. This is the game they want. And I think Tennessee has a chance to pull the upset, maybe an 8.5-point spread somewhere in that neighborhood. I just think Josh Heupel's going to have something for Alabama. And I'm reminded every now and then when I never pick against Alabama, I've got to shake this. That was Saban. They were invincible. They were a Tyrannosaurus Rex. They're not that anymore. They're just like the rest of these conference teams. They can lose a game. They can take their eye off the ball. I'm going to take Tennessee in an upset over Alabama.
You know, Smitty, back to something you said just a second ago about these student-athletes still having to go to class in the morning. Bold of you to assume they actually go to real classes at the University of North Carolina. They didn't joke about underwater basket-weaving classes for decades for nothing.
I don't disagree. I'm not disagreeing. I don't know that Cam Newton went to class at Auburn. I don't know. But I mean, by and large, most of the players are going to class. I'm just, I just every now and then I go on these campuses and I might have been, you know, harsh or made a few cracks on appearances like these. And then you get around the players. I mean, speaking of Cade Klubnik, and I watch him, you know, he's kind of limping out there for the post-game interview. And you think, man, these are people. And I try to entertain, try to have fun, but I also try to keep in perspective they are young people. And by being young people, they're affected by everything. They're affected by all these things set on message boards. They're affected when their coach gets fired. They're affected when people talk about their coach getting fired. And I'm reminded of that so every now and then.
Yeah. Smitty, you're the best, man. As always, we appreciate the heck out of you. Where's your high school game at tonight as we let you roll?
It is Socastee at Myrtle Beach tonight. And I have heard. You run into this. I've heard that Myrtle Beach has the best press box in the lower state.
It's a good
so
one.
I'm going to be in, and I haven't called a game there, so I'm going to be kind of where you are every week. Because when you're in Spartanburg County, they're all great press boxes.
Smitty, is that where the North-South game is?
Yes, absolutely. Doug
okay, I was there in December.
Yeah, beautiful stadium.
Yeah.
Great setting for football. And then I've heard that, you know, it's a plush place to call the game. I mean, you know, like a college atmosphere in terms of what they do. And I'm looking forward to that. Socastee hasn't tackled anybody in 3 weeks. Maybe they can turn it around. But
so,
Myrtle Beach is pretty good.
Smitty, my last question for you. Does that press box feature a Wings, Waves, Eagles, or Pacific Beachwear in it?
Well, I think we get free flip-flops and a hermit crab when we go.
Oh, man. Smitty, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. See you, boys.
Thanks, Matt.
Oh, man. Good stuff there. Matt Smith, Sports Talk Media Network. Upset picks continue, Diesel. Let's make one big push right here in the middle of the show. And let's say next segment, 20 upset pick entries in the next segment.
All right.
2-0. That's a lot, but I believe in the Tolos. We're calling from right now to the end of next segment to get our numbers up. We've got to hit our quota, right? 20 upset picks starting now. 844-326-3663. We'll dive into the upset pick challenge next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Jersey Joe sends in a text on the Hub City Spartanburgers text line at 844-326-3663. Let me try that again. I had a burp mid-phone number, so I apologize. 844-326-3663. Jersey Joe wants to know if the point spread stays at 9.5 or if it's changed for the SMU Clem Sox game. I put my pick on Wednesday. Well, Jersey Joe, let me ask you this to answer your question. As long as you've been participating in the Upset Picks Challenge, when has a spread ever changed? Has that ever happened, Joe? No. The spreads are locked in at 3. So to answer your question, just because you use Clem Sox, I'm going to say that was a dumb question. You know, your teacher says there's no such thing as a dumb question. That was a dumb. The lines don't change, Jersey Joe. They're
the question
locked in.
Becomes, Jersey Joe, what does the phrase locked in mean to you?
Yeah. I mean, really? What is locked? Are you locked in, Jersey Joe, or not? So the spread was 9.5 at 3 o'clock on Wednesday. And guess what? On Wednesday, Diesel, Dan B. locked it in.
You know,
it's locked.
You've just unlocked a very important question. And okay. I don't know. I don't have a clue even how to look this up. Why don't we say Wednesday?
It's a good question.
If it's spelled Wednesday,
yep,
which sounds so weird to say, why don't we say it Wednesday? Or why don't we just spell it Wednesday? W-E-N.
Yeah.
S-D-A-Y, Wednesday.
Yeah, or W-I-N-S-D-A-Y,
ooh,
right?
Either Wednesday. See,
Wednesday, that's
when you would want to schedule your games for. You'd want to schedule
Wednesday.
Games on Wednesday.
Right. So maybe a new trend on wire-to-wire, Tolos, we say Wednesday. I like it. I like Wednesday. I think it sounds, it just, you have to warm up to it.
You're like, you subtly tapped into something my wife does just to mess with people around her. She intentionally pronounces words wrong.
Oh, I like that.
Just to see if people will correct her on the way
and
she says
it. And by God,
something.
She should know you, of all people, are going to correct her.
Yeah, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Get it right. Specificity is key.
You know, I used to have a problem. People, friends growing up, Diesel, made fun of me because I always said Tuesday. And they said, is it Tuesday? What is Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Growing up, I said Tuesday. And I think a lot of Tolos out there probably are guilty of saying Tuesday. Hey, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But it's not Tuesday. It's Tuesday. So I had to break that habit. I can say Tuesday correctly now. But I don't know. I think I'm going to start going with Wednesday. I like that a little bit more.
You know, we used to have a host on this station who couldn't pronounce the word museum. He said museum. And it used to drive me crazy.
Museum.
You'd be like, yeah, let's go to the Natural History Museum today.
Museum. Yeah, a little bit
E-U-M.
Different. Yeah,
there's no A. It's not A-U-M. It's Museum E-U-M.
Tolo's upset picks are freaking due. Jersey Joe, they're locked in, which means they don't move. They don't change. It's 844-326-3663. That's the number. Let's run the numbers up right now. 844-FAN-PHONE. You're looking for an upset this weekend in college football to pull that outright upset, Diesel. We see Gamecock Tim getting in. What's up, Tim? We see Jay Weiler and Anderson taking the Gamecocks. Gus Mosley, you might be wanting to steal Dave Mosley's picks there lately. John Rhodes,
Gus, chopped
in.
Liver.
Well, I'm just saying, if your dad or whoever it is killing it, you might just want to play copycat. So, Tolos, let's continue to get them in. 844-326-3663. Again, you go on ESPN.com, find an underdog that you like to outright win the game. And Tolos, the best advice I can give you, listen to me. Every pick that you make should be my selection. every week. Why are you laughing? What are you doing? What are you laughing for? I've hit once. I'm kidding. I've hit once.
And Jersey Joe getting sensitive on the text line. He goes, I get it. Pick on Joe. Pick on Jersey Joe.
We're going to pick on Joe.
I have noticed that Dave Mosley, our leader in the clubhouse, who's crushing everybody, has not sent in his upset pick yet.
There's a reason
for that. He waits
to
the last
minute. No. There's a reason.
Uh-oh.
Did you see what I did on the stream?
No, I didn't. Do it again.
Look, Dave Mo, we're putting an end to it.
We're putting an end to it. Your pick got lost in the mail, Dave.
If somebody finds Dave Mosley tied up with duct tape in his basement with his hands behind his back, I'm sorry, but I'm taking this upset pick thing personal.
So you have been watching the new Ed Gein docuseries?
No.
Wow. You're just following in his footsteps, Cole. You're doing all kinds of weird stuff. Now, Joe, back to the point about the picks being locked in. Sometimes the lock giveth, and sometimes the lock taketh away. And in this moment, the lock giveth in a big-time way because it's shrunk now to, what'd you say it's at now, Cole? Like 4.5 points? So you're getting 5 free points if you pick this game.
You are, and what's crazy about it is, like, I can pick teams to cover the spread. Somebody, I think it was Dewey yesterday, brought that up. And picking teams to cover the spread's really not that difficult because I do it all the time. But picking them to outright win the game, that's pretty freaking difficult. So it's tough. I am going with my pick this week was Clemson SMU. I am hook, line, and sinker. I've bitten the bait. I've taken the bait. And Diesel, I may have a hook in the side of my mouth being pulled up to the shore. But I'm believing. I'm believing in SMU, especially if Cade Klubnik's on a bum ankle. Who was your upset pick?
My upset pick was UNLV plus, I think, 12.5 over Boise State. They're going on the road, Dan Mullen and UNLV. And to Dewey's point, wanting to change the rules to make it easier to score points, I always just go back to what Tom Hanks said as Jimmy Dugan, the manager in a league of their own, it's supposed to be hard. If it was easy, anybody could do it. The hard is what makes it great.
Yeah, and Dave Mosley says, I beg to differ. It's pretty easy. Just Jess gets hers in. Just Jess gets her upset pick in. Good to hear from you, Jess. Mississippi State plus 9.5.
She's trying to get back on the board.
Oh, yeah.
She fell off last week.
She did. She did. I hope it didn't hurt when you fell, Jess, off the board. Sherb going South Carolina plus 5.5 over Oklahoma. What else here? Leprechaun of Lyman says, you not landing your picks is the very reason I forbade you from picking my game. That comes from Leprechaun of Lyman. So, in case you missed it, Wednesday, the Leprechaun of Lyman Tolos caught in, gave his... Is it a poem? Am I allowed to say that? Poem?
It's not really a haiku. It's not a limerick.
There's no
iambic pentameter built in. I don't know what it is.
Leprechaun told me I was not allowed to take UNLV, and I literally, the night before, had screenshotted the UNLV game, the same one Diesel took. I liked it a lot. In fact, I still like it. I think you've got a good shot there, Diesel. A big, big spread. If you hit, buddy, you rocking and rolling with that many points. So best of luck to you. I hope it hits, but I hope SMU hits more.
We'll see. We'll have to wait and find out. Tolos, remember, give us your name, your game, and the spread. We need all three of those pieces of information. I can obviously report, Cole, that we are now over the 100 pick mark.
There we go.
We really want to be up near like 150 by the end of the show. So, Tolos, who haven't, we always get a late push in that 6 o'clock hour, people waiting until the last minute to get their picks in. And so I expect our numbers to go up, but don't wait. You're getting towards the end of the show. Don't wait. Get your picks to us. 844-326-3663. When we come back, Cole, let's do this. Let's talk about Aaron Rodgers and cheating, not cheating. What do you think about that? And what an amazing game we saw last night on Thursday Night Football. We'll get to it next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers being a contrarian as always, Cole. If Artolos weren't listening during our Daily Wires earlier, we already touched on this, but smelling salts have been banned by the NFL. Kind of. Like, the team can't supply smelling salts, which players will sniff, get an immediate burst of energy. It's not like doing a line of something else or taking meth. But it is still a stimulant that really kind of focuses a player's brain. And twice this season, we've seen Aaron Rodgers crack open a smelling salts and then immediately throw a touchdown bomb. Is it cheating? Is it not?
I don't think it is. Maybe I'm old school in the sense of smelling salts aren't like, they're not performance enhancing. I know you might could argue, well, they help. You throw a I just don't know. I can't buy the argument. That's what I'm trying to do is go against my own argument. I don't think it's performance enhancing at all. And maybe you disagree, Diesel. I just smelling salts. I mean, you realize smelling salts are just that. It's a form of salt. I know it's obviously not just like taking your at home salt and smelling it, but. Come on. I mean, everything else is banned. Let's just, if you bring your own smelling salts, I'm okay with it.
Well, it is focus enhancing. Like, it doesn't make your arm any stronger. Maybe it makes your mind work a little bit quicker. And sure. In that sense, now it would take a lot of research to find out the answer to this question, but did it make Aaron Rodgers more accurate? Did it help him pick up a player moving across a formation faster? And in a way, you could say that is performance enhancing.
Yeah, I get it. It's just maybe I'm just old school.
I know.
And now, more than that, I loved his own player tackling him.
Look on his face.
Oh, he was so mad about it.
What are you doing? I'm 44, man. Get off me.
And I agree. Don't tackle me. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah,
get your excited.
These aren't college kids that are going to spring up and bump chests at 5 feet in the air. Don't do that to Aaron Rodgers. Come on, he's fragile.
You could tell when he got tackled, it hurt. Like, it hurt. It wasn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Diesel.
Friendly fire.
Our weekend menu, the best college football games in the time slots where you, Tolos, will be sitting watching this weekend. That's next.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Having control over your healthcare is a relief, yet so many Americans struggle to find that freedom at a price they can afford. That's why Christians across the country are turning to Redeem HealthShare Ministry. Choose your doctors, your hospitals, your treatments, all while keeping costs low. At Redeem, faith meets real affordability and the freedom to care your way. It's healthcare that lifts your spirit. Join the community today at redeemhealthshare.org.